In John chapter 11, here's what it says. Jesus says he is the resurrection and the life. It's John 11, 25. He says, I'm the resurrection and life. He who believes in me will never die. And all, you know, it's just a great passage. When we think about it, what does that mean? He's the resurrection. That means he is the one who raises dead bodies out of the graves. There's going to be a time, resurrection is when he raises up bodies out of the grave, never to die again. That's resurrection. He's also the life. He's the life giver. He is the one that gives spiritual life and eternal life to all who believe. So when we think about Jesus, that message that we tell people, a lot of people are so confused. We're telling people to trust in Jesus Christ for what? Eternal life, everlasting life. He is the one who gives eternal life to all who simply believe. Jesus Christ is the life giver. John chapter 1, verse 4. In him was life, and his life was the light of men. So he's the life giver. He gives physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. That's who he is. So Jesus Christ came and he died on the cross. He paid for sin. He rose again. And what we realize is he conquered spiritual death. He has also conquered physical death. Now that's important because a lot of times we don't think about it, but we come into this world spiritually dead and Jesus Christ gives us spiritual life. We also die physically, but Jesus Christ is going to raise our bodies from the dead. So when you think about what Jesus Christ has done, that he's the resurrection and the life, that's incredible. So this morning, we're going to go and we're going to look quickly at two different places in which there's someone or some people raised from the dead. And we'll talk about it. What does it mean? Well, there's some words we need to understand. First of all, resurrection. Resurrection is being raised from the dead physically, physical resurrection. When the Bible talks about resurrection, it's never a spiritual aspect. Resurrection is always physical. It's always bodily. So resurrection is being raised from the dead physically, bodily, never to die again. That's what resurrection is. Jesus Christ is the first fruits, the first one to be resurrected. Jesus Christ is the first one to die and rise again, never to die again. That's resurrection. He's called the first fruits. First Peter talks about that. Acts talks about that and different places as well. And so first, he's the first fruits. Philippians talks about it also. So that's who he is. Now, there's another term you need to know, and that's resuscitation. Resuscitation means being raised from the dead, and it's bodily again, to die again. And we say, what, really? Well, do you remember Lazarus? You remember Lazarus? He died. Jesus came later. He'd been dead four days, physically dead. Jesus said, remove the stone. They removed the stone. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came back. Lazarus was raised from the dead, but Lazarus died again. Okay? And you remember the widow at Nain, as they were going out of the city, there was a widow and her only son was dead. And they were carrying him out like this. And Jesus goes and stands right there and stops it and then touches the guy and says, come, and he raises from the dead right there. You remember the story of the little 12-year-old girl that the man came to him and said, my 12-year-old daughter is very sick. Please come before she dies. On the way, he got stopped two or three times. It was the woman that had this stuff. And so by the time they were getting close, somebody came and said, you don't need to bother the teacher anymore. She's already died. He said, don't worry about that. They got there, and he said, in Hebrew, he basically said, come alive, which is to stand up. And he made her rise again. So, but they all rose from the grave to do what? To die again, that's resuscitation. Jesus is the one who died and rose again, never to die again, and he's the first fruits. Now, one day, Jesus Christ, because he has conquered not only spiritual death, he has conquered physical death, one day Jesus Christ will raise every body from the grave. There will be people raised from the grave to spend eternity with Jesus Christ. It's called eternal life or everlasting life, and that comes by faith. Whoever's believed in Christ will be raised from the dead to live forever with him. There'll be people raised from the dead to exist forever. It's not living forever. It's actually calling dying forever. They'll be placed in the lake of fire in which they called or died forever because they rejected Jesus Christ as Savior. So Jesus Christ gives eternal life. He gives spiritual life. He gives resurrected life. He bodily life. He does all of these things. Now what we want to do is we're going to see two events from the Bible. One is famous. And it's sort of funny because a guy falls asleep at church. That's never happened to anybody, I'm sure. I've sat right here before and go, oh, is it time for me to get up there? Okay, let me go. You know, okay. So has anybody ever fallen asleep at church? And then we're going to see one that's not so famous. Even though we read it all the time, it happened when Jesus died on the cross. And sometimes the verses that come right after that, we read it so fast, we don't really listen to what it said. So let's do this. We're in Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20, and Paul has finished his third missionary journey. He's on the way back to Jerusalem. I want you to look at Acts 20, look at verse 6. We sailed from Philippi after the days of unleavened bread and came to them at Troas, where we stayed 5 days, came within 5 days, and we stayed there 7 days. Now, I got a map, but it's actually the beginning of the third missionary journey, so you can't look at the arrows this way. They were coming back, and they crossed over, and they stopped right there. So the arrows are wrong, because this is the beginning of the third missionary journey. This is the end of the third missionary journey, where he's coming back, and he stops at this town, this city called Troas. And Paul knows that he's on his way to Jerusalem, and so he decides to give a message to these people, okay? So notice, and as I'll raise this again, before we get into the passage, you might raise the question again. Have you ever fallen asleep in church? You don't need to feel bad about it. Sometimes you're tired. Sometimes you've just done so much, you stayed up late, or it's just hard to sit still for hour and a half. No, really, the message. How long do you think the messages are? They're right at 30 to 31 minutes, every one of them. That's just the way God has allowed me to put them together. So most of the time, from the time I begin to the time we end, is about 30 minutes. And with our culture, and with TV, and every 7 minutes there's a commercial, our the way that we concentrate, it's sometimes hard to sit still for 30 minutes. So sometimes we do fall asleep. And I remember Prof. Hendricks used to say in class, he'd come in and he'd say, okay, man, look, if you're going to fall asleep, just fall asleep. Don't fight it. Don't keep falling off the side of you. You know, just go to sleep and, you know, maybe you can make it up or something. So we're going to see a guy who falls asleep. So in Acts chapter 20, on the first, verse 7, first day of the week, notice what it says. On the first day of the week when we gathered together to break bread, Paul began talking to them, intending to leave the next day. And he proclaimed his message until when? Midnight? Okay, they come together. Now, by the way, they didn't come together at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. First day of the week is Sunday. But Sunday was not a day off. Sunday's first day of the week. Believers worshiped on the first day of the week, but most of the time they worked. They worked during the day, and then they'd be like coming to Sunday night church. That's what it was like. Because they, you know, until historically, later on, until you get to the third century and, you know, Rome declaring Christianity the legal religion, the Christians would worship on the first day of the week because Jesus rose from the grave on the first day of the week. But the first day of the week was not what we call the weekend. It was the first day of the week, and it was a work day. So when it says he talked to midnight, he may have started. They would usually come together. They would have prayer time. They would have a meal called the love feast. Then they would have the Lord's Supper usually, and then he would speak. Now, this may have, let's say that started 6 o'clock in the evening. Well, this is going all the way to midnight. So Paul's going to talk for a long time, which is, you know, let me tell you, what would we do if we had an opportunity to hear Paul teach? We'd go, bring it in. We not, just bring some sandwiches in. We're not moving, right? We would love it. So it says, on the first day of the week when they came together to break bread, that usually means the meal plus the Lord's Supper, Paul began talking to them. First day of the week, because it's when, you know, that's when they worshiped. And listen to what it says. There were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered together. Wherever they were was a bigger place because it's 3 stories tall. And they're in the upper room of the 3-story place, and there's a lot of people in there. There's a lot of lamps in there. And, oxygen is going out. People are probably going, wow, this is great, but, man, I'm so tired. And there's a guy named Eutychus, and he probably is a younger person, and he decides to go sit in the window, you know, to sit there and to hear Paul. It's probably a little cooler in the window, and so he wants to do this. So notice it says, there were many lamps in the upper room where they were gathered, and there was a young man named Eutychus sitting on the windowsill, sinking into a deep sleep. You could see him sitting there going, oh, that Paul's good, isn't he? Oh, he's great. And he's just falling out, you know. And it says, sinking into a deep sleep, and as Paul kept on talking, he was overcome by sleep, fell down from the 3rd floor, and was picked up dead. Can you imagine right in the middle of Paul's message, you hear somebody go, whoa, what? He just fell out the window. People go rushing down there. I'm sure it stopped the message. Paul said, what happened? Guy fell out the window. Really? Did he jump out the window? No, he fell out. They went running down there. and he's dead when they get there. It says, and he fell from the third floor, and he was picked up dead. Fell out of the story. Fell asleep, fell out of the thing, and he was dead. So what happened? Paul went down, fell upon him, and after embracing him, he said, "Do not be troubled. There's life with him. There's life in him." What did Paul do? What did Paul do? He resuscitated him. He brought him back from the dead. It says when he'd gone back up, Paul, gone back up, broken bread. They've been there long enough, they're going to eat again. They'd gone back up, broken bread and eaten. He talked with them a long time until when? He went all night. They said, "Look, everybody bring in some sandwiches. We're just going to keep going because I'm leaving tomorrow and I may never see you again." That's what he actually said. And they took the boy alive. They took him away alive and they were greatly comforted. Okay, so what is this? This is what? This is resuscitation. This is not resurrection. This guy died and Paul raised him from the dead. Now, we know Jesus raised people from the dead. Did Paul have the ability to raise somebody from the dead? Obviously. What about Peter? There's a place where there was a little lady named Dorcas, Tabitha, and she died, and Peter went, and they were all crying, and he said, "Everybody get out of the room," and he prayed, and she came back from the dead. So there are times that God allowed the apostles to be able to do that. We see it here. This is resuscitation. So here's how you can remember the guy's name that fell out the window. His name is Eutychus, and you'd cuss too if you fell out a window, right? You would cuss too if you fell out the window, okay? So just remember that. Somebody says, "What was that guy's name fell out the window?" Eutychus, okay? Now, so we see resuscitation. Now I want to show you a passage that is different. And I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 27. So turn over a few places. Matthew 27, and this is unique. This is Jesus dying on the cross, and something happened. And so we're going to raise some questions as we see this and think about it, and then we'll go to our grow groups, and you can talk more about it in more detail. So I have one application from Eutychus falling out the window. Just be careful where you sit in church if you're going to fall asleep, okay? Because he could be right here and fall right out there and everybody see you. If you're going to fall asleep, put your head against the wall and just kind of go like that and you'll be okay. No, everybody thinks you're listening, but you're really asleep, so it doesn't matter. Okay, Matthew 27, Jesus is on the cross. They've arrested him. They've tried him 6 times, 3 times by the Jews at night, all illegal and found all guilty, 3 times by the Romans in the morning. And in reality, he's found not guilty, and yet they crucify him. And if you notice, I want you to look at verse 45 of Matthew 27. It says, "Now from the sixth hour, darkness fell upon the land to the ninth hour." Now the sixth hour is 12 o'clock. They put Jesus on the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. At 12 o'clock to 3 o'clock in the afternoon, everything turned dark. And we know what happened. Everything turned dark because Jesus was taking the sins of the world upon himself. The sins of every human being, past, present, future. Every sin that every person has ever done, ever will done, has placed on Jesus Christ at that moment on the cross. And when that happened, the Father, when the wages of sin is what? Death. And Jesus Christ is separated from the Father. In fact, he separated from the Father and the Spirit. Notice what it says. About the ninth hour, 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, my God, why have you forsaken me?" Some people would say, my God, he's just talking to the Father. I think by saying, my God, the Father, my God, the Spirit, why have you forsaken me? Why? Because he's being separated. My God, he's separated from the Father and the Spirit because he's taken on our sin. That's what's happened. And then if you notice that they came up to him, of course, and they said, "This guy's calling for Elijah," because he said, "Eli, Eli," which is my God. And El is the singular form of the Hebrew name for God. And the little I on the end is the ending, which means my. So Eli is my God. So if you have a son or you name somebody Eli, you're naming him my God, which is a great name. And so he says, some of the people came up and they said, "He's calling for Elijah or somebody." And so they took something and gave it to him. And they said, "See if Elijah's going to come." And verse 50 says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit." What does that mean? That means he dies. Jesus Christ dies. He's already died spiritually. He's already separated from the Father. Now, this passage doesn't say it, but I want you to understand one thing. That when he dies, the very last words he says, not always recorded in this passage, the very last words that he said were, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." The words that he said right before that was, "It is finished." Now, what's finished? Payment for sin. He had been separated from the Father. The payment has been made. He says, "It is finished." He is no longer separated from the Father spiritually. He's back in the fellowship with him, and that's why he says, "Into your hands I commit my spirit." So he dies right here. He dies, already died spiritually. Now he's going to die physically. The reason he dies physically is so he can rise from the grave and conquer physical death. Watch what happened. It says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice," verse 50, "and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from the top to the bottom, and the earth shook, and the rocks were split." Now, before we get to that, realize that in the temple, as you know, and I'm going to do this real fast, if you remember that when you'd go into the temple, if you go into a big gate, there was the place where they offered the sacrifices, then you went into what they call the holy, the main building. There was a front room called the Holy Place. There was a back room called the Holy of Holies. In the front room, priests could go, certain priests. You walked into that front room. There was a lampstand over here. There was a table over here with bread. And there was this altar of incense. And this kept burning all the time. There was a curtain. There was a veil separating the back room. The only people who could go in the back room was the high priest, and he could only go one time a year on the Day of Atonement. It was symbolic that the way to God was not open. And so on the Day of Atonement, which was the covering for sin, the high priest could actually go into the back room. That's the only person, the only time. When Jesus died on the cross, that veil separating the front room from the back room was torn from the top to the bottom, signifying God is the one tearing it. And now the way to God is now what? It's now open because the payment for sin has been made. Jesus Christ has done it all. Many of the priests, it says, I don't know if you've ever realized this, but in Acts, it said, many of the priests trusted Christ as Savior. You know why? Because they walked in that front room and they saw it was now open to the back room, and they realized what Jesus had done, that he was the Savior and he had opened the way for man to be able to come into the presence of God. So we'll talk more about that at a different time. But notice what else happened. It said, and behold, the veil from the temple was torn from the top to the bottom. Earth shook, the rocks were split. And then it says, look at it, it says, tombs were opened. And many bodies of the saints, that's believers, who had fallen asleep were what? Were raised. Now watch this. When Jesus died, the veil is torn in two, from the top to the bottom, and the graves were opened, and the bodies of the saints came out. There was an earthquake. Tombs were open, and the bodies... Okay, who are saints? Who are saints? Believers. So bodies of believing, believers, those who had believed in Jesus, the graves are opened. And what does it say? The tombs were open, and many bodies of the saints who had fallen asleep were raised. Now, you've got to look at it carefully. Notice the next verse. And coming out of the tombs after his resurrection, they entered into the holy city and appeared to many. Now, notice the difference. When Jesus died on the cross, the tombs were opened. When did the bodies come out of the tombs? This is what it says. And coming out of tombs when? After his resurrection. Jesus Christ is the what? The first fruits. Now, I want you to think about something. They were not raised until after his resurrection they came into the city. So, and Jesus is the first fruits. So you've got this issue here. Okay, Jesus died on the cross. He died physically. The moment he died physically, graves were open, but the bodies weren't raised until after Jesus was raised. So that leads us to two questions. Is this resuscitation? Is this resurrection? Is it resuscitation? Were these people raised, seen, and died again? Is this resurrection? Raised after his resurrection? Never to die again. Now, that's something to think about. You could say, well, okay, Jesus died after he rose from the grave. Their bodies came up. They lived out, and then they died again. That's resuscitation. We could say, well, after Jesus rose from the grave, then he's the first fruits, so then others would be okay to rise from the grave, right? Resurrection, right? Do you think this is resurrection? And if it's resurrection, here's a couple of questions to think about. Where are these people? Because if they're on this earth, they've been alive for about 2,000 years, right? Because if you're after you're resurrected, you don't die, right? So is there some people over in Israel that if you found them, they said, oh, yeah, I was there when Jesus raised from the dead. I've been here for 2,000 years. Okay, you don't know, okay? But we don't know. We don't think so. Okay, here's another question. When Jesus ascended into heaven, according to Ephesians, it says, he led captivity captive, meaning he took the believers who were in the heart of the earth with him sometime, somehow. We don't know when or where or how. We just know that people who were in the heart of the earth who were believers were taken to heaven with Jesus sometime. And Jesus is called the first fruits. It's plural. Could it be that those people were resurrected, and when Jesus ascended to heaven at some time, some way, he took them with him? Who knows? This is why it's called a strange passage, because we don't have the answers to it. If I'm guessing and you say to me, what do you think? I think it's probably resuscitation and those people died again. But there is some reason why it says their bodies did not come out of the tombs until after his resurrection. Why? I don't know. So just a strange passage for you to think about. Okay, now let's understand the difference between resuscitation and resurrection. Resuscitation is to die again. Resurrection is to never die again. Let's trust in Jesus Christ to give eternal life, give life, because he gives the physical life, spiritual life, and eternal life. He's going to raise the body. He gives us spiritual life when we were dead, and he gives us eternal life, of course, by faith. And last but not least, be careful where you sit if you fall asleep in the church service.